But here in Isaiah chapter 43, God makes this beautiful statement in verse 10 about his witnesses, and that's us. Amen. Notice verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 43. It says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" So ye are my witnesses. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you that we can assemble here today, sing praises to your name, Lord, be stirred by this beautiful special about seeing you one day, and open the Word of God together and hear from the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that, Lord, you speak to every heart and meet needs, whatever those needs might be, conviction, comfort, encouragement, whatever, Lord, we pray you would meet every need in this auditorium. And Lord, that each of us would walk away saying, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. May we give you glory in our willingness to listen and respond to your word today. We love you and ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Bit of trivia. Isaiah 43:10 is the theme verse of the Jehovah's Witness. Because in their Bible, it instead of saying L-O-R-D, Lord, they of course have put in the Hebrew name Jehovah. And that this is where they get their name, if you will. But sadly, they are not Jehovah's Witnesses. They are spreading false doctrine because they don't believe in the person of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they cannot be saved. But if you are a born-again Christian, you are his witness. This, of course, was written to Israel at the time. And God was trying to teach them that he created them as a nation to be a witness to the world of what could happen to a nation that would make God their Lord. And they had a great beginning, didn't they? And they reached their peak there under David and Solomon. But then they turned their back on God's commandments, and God had to chastise them for it. But you and I can draw a lot from this beautiful passage that we are the witnesses of Jehovah. And by the way, don't be afraid of the name Jehovah. It's the Hebrew word for God in the Bible. It's the most prominent Hebrew word for God in the Old Testament. And his name is Jehovah. He has many names, of course. Elohim, Adonai, and then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you are his witness if you are his child. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We'll see that right before Jesus went back to heaven, he made this same statement to the disciples and to us, that our number one mission from him was to be his witnesses. Notice Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." So there it is again. "Unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." We are his witnesses. And we are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But back in our passage, Isaiah 43, it's very important that we understand that when God said this to Israel, he also then took the time to remind them about who he is. And you might ask, well, why is that? Well, I personally believe that the more that we believe and understand about the person of God, the more confidence it gives us to be that witness for our Lord. Because we know who we're witnessing for, and we know he's with us. And it's very important that we understand God and who God is. And I'm talking the God of the Bible. How else do we know about God outside of the Bible? We don't. That is where he's revealed himself. And so he says there in verse 10, that ye may know. He wants us to know some things about him. That ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. I want you to be my witnesses, but I want you to know who I am. So that when you do go out and witness, you can be accurate about my person. And we as God's children have that same responsibility. When you share the gospel with the lost, make sure that when you talk about sin, and then you talk about the consequences of sin, but you talk about Christ paying for that sin, that you stop and take the time to explain who Jesus is. That he is God in the flesh. And that God himself died for our sins. That is the most amazing love story ever told. That our Creator loved us enough to become a man himself and die as our substitute. That is the beauty of the gospel. But he says that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. If you would look at John chapter 6, in the New Testament equivalent of this, Jesus turned to his disciples after giving his discourse on the bread of life, which, by the way, wasn't received very well by the crowd. Most of them walked away. But then after they walked away, he turned to his disciples and asked if they would stay with him. And then he asked if they knew who he was. And notice what Peter said in John 6:69, and we believe and are sure. I love that. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said, we believe it and we are sure. And my friend, if you believe that Jesus has saved you from sin and you are sure about the person of Jesus Christ, what else do you need to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Because that should give in us so much confidence to know that we are out there witnessing for the one who can rescue them from their sins. And as he promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us while we witness. Because we are carrying out his work. While you're in John, look in chapter 8, verse 24. Jesus here, again, talking about his person. He did that a lot in the book of John. But notice in verse 24, he said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, in case you thought he was being ambiguous about his person there, look down in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, before Abraham was, I am. Any Jew who had ever read the Old Testament would have known immediately that Jesus was referring back to the book of Exodus when Moses saw the burning bush and asked who it was that was talking to him. He said, I am that I am. God's first introduction to Moses, the name that he used was the I am. And Jesus here says in John 8, if you don't believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. If you do not believe in the person of Jesus Christ as Jehovah, you cannot be saved. And Jesus said that in his word. So I'd like us to go back to our passage now and walk through the rest of these verses and understand how important it is that we not only recognize these truths about God, but that we believe them. And if we truly believe them, then we have all that we need to be able to go out and be his witnesses. So I counted at least seven things. So let's walk through them. Verse 10. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. That is that God is eternal. But that he's also the only God. Isaiah, more than any other book, God says this multiple times, there is no other God but me. But as we'll see, God then puts himself forward as omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. There cannot be multiple omniscient beings, can there? In other words, that know everything. There cannot be multiple omnipresent beings. A being that is everywhere at once. So God's saying, I am it. There is no other God. Now the Jehovah's Witness will try to come to you and they'll come to your door and they'll say, you share a verse with them about Jesus being God. Take, for example, Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The name, his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You show them that verse, says, well, but it says that the Son's name is Mighty God. And they'll say, yes, but it doesn't say Almighty God. In other words, it's okay for Jesus to be called the Mighty God, but he's not Almighty God. Well, that means that there must be two gods, a Mighty God and an Almighty God. But wait a minute, God says here there is only one true God. And that Jesus must be that God. And by the way, his name is Everlasting Father as well. And so what God is teaching us here is he's the only one. But he's also saying, I am eternal. You know, children, I always ask that question. When did God begin? Those are tough questions. God says he never began. He's always been. And it will never end. And it's hard to get our head around that sometimes, isn't it? He's always been. And yes, he created the universe and he created the world. He created mankind. He created everything that we see, which we'll talk about, as the creator. But God has always been. From everlasting to everlasting, we're told in Micah 5:2. Thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting, God is eternal. And the only true God. So we'll call that one and two if you'd like. Notice Isaiah 44:6, just as another cross reference. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. He says here, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. I think God's making that pretty clear, isn't he? I'm the first, I'm the last, and there is no other God. I am the only God. And so, just in this passage, we see that God is eternal and God is the only God. Then he says in verse 11 of Isaiah 43, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. If you ever find an occasion to witness to the Jehovah's Witness, and they allow you to share a verse with them, which they often will not, believe it or not, the verse right after their theme verse is one of the most powerful witnessing verses for Jehovah's Witness in the Bible. Because in their Bible it says, I even I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. But what is the name of Jesus Christ? Go to Titus chapter 1 and we'll see. He is referred to as the Savior. And yet Jehovah tells us that there is no other Savior but him. And remember, I know I've shared this many times, but in the King James translators are very kind to us. And whenever you see the word Lord in the Old Testament with all caps, that is their way of telling us that the Hebrew word behind that name was the word Jehovah. If you see the word Lord without all caps, but just a capital L, then it's one of the other Hebrew names for God, like Adonai or Elohim or El Shaddai or some of the others. So they shared with us just through the spelling and through the usage of capital letters, no other version does this, by the way, that when you see all caps, L-O-R-D, you know that's Jehovah. Why didn't they put Jehovah? Well, that's Hebrew. This is an English Bible. It's not complicated, is it? Anyway, notice Titus chapter 1, verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior, to Titus, mine only son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So which is it? Verse 3 says God, our Savior, and verse 4 says the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The answer is yes. Jesus has to be God. Because Jehovah just told us in Isaiah 43:11, I am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. And Jesus Christ is the Savior, which means he is Jehovah. So we see he's eternal, we see he's the only true God, and he is the only Savior. Verse 12 of Isaiah 43, I have declared, I have saved, I've showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. God here is telling us that he is all-knowing. The fancy theological word for that is omniscient. But he is all-knowing. God knows everything. Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and a great power. His understanding is infinite. And you know, when Jesus is on the earth, it says that he knew what was in man. Jesus knew people's thoughts. Jesus was omniscient because Jesus is Jehovah. But God is all-knowing. And if you look in verse 13, he's also all-present. He says, yea, before the day was, I am he. And he goes on to teach us all through the scriptures that he is everywhere. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Jeremiah 23, 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Am I not everywhere, in other words? This is just one verse, but all through the scriptures, God teaches that he knows everything and that God is everywhere. David, in Psalm 139, whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. God's everywhere. And then in verse 13, he says, and there is none other that can deliver out of my hand. God, and all through the scriptures, teaches that he is also all powerful. So the three fancy theological words there are omniscient, all knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, and omnipotent, all powerful. So our Bible doctrines class, they've already got their first couple of things taken care of. Jesus said in Matthew 19, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jeremiah 32:27, turn there if you would. God says, Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. He says in Isaiah chapter 40, he says, I'm the creator of the ends of the earth. So God here is teaching us that we are his witnesses, we are his servants, and that we can go forward in confidence and power, knowing that the one that we are witnessing for is the only one, is the eternal one, is the saving one, is the omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient one. And then lastly, verse 13 of Isaiah 40 says, I will work and who shall let it? In other words, he's sovereign. And this is something that a lot of people don't understand. They think God is very passive. That he's just this old man with a beard sitting up in heaven and just letting things happen as they do. But it doesn't work that way with God. God is sovereign over his creation. Look at Psalm 24, verse 1. God, first of all, he owns it all. But by virtue of that ownership, he also is in control of it all. And we talked about this in our Sunday school class last year about, well, then why is there sin? Why is there wickedness? But notice Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Look at Psalm 135, verse 6, if you would. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. We get to the New Testament, Revelation chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and blessing, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God made everything for his pleasure, and God is sovereign over his creation. And by the way, so is Jesus. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus is with us. These truths, sometimes people look at them as, you know, boring doctrine. But boring doctrine is very important for our grounding. But also, when we go out and witness, it's important that we know who we're witnessing for. That we are witnessing for Jehovah. We are witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we know who He is. And that's why He took the time after saying, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And you're my servants. And I want you to be reminded that as my witnesses, I want you to be reminded who I am. That I'm the Eternal One. I'm the Omniscient, Omnipresent. And the other one. And I'm the Savior. And I'm sovereign over my creation. This is the God that we serve. And the world needs to know that He loves them. Amen? First, they need to know that He exists. And the Bible teaches that all of us in our conscience, we know that we have a Creator. When we look at creation, we know there had to have been a designer. You don't just look at a beautiful thing that God made and say, wow, that just happened. It just exploded out of fire. You know, we don't believe that about anything else. You know, that we were walking by this steel factory and they had an explosion and this detailed watch fell on the ground in front of us. It just happened. No, somebody designed that watch, didn't they? And put all those little intricate pieces in there. And somebody designed man. And somebody designed all the things that we see. But that same conscience that tells us that can also be seared by sin. And like we talked last week, the number one reason why people reject the existence of God is because of sin. Because they don't want to acknowledge that there's a God. Because as soon as you acknowledge that there's a God, then you acknowledge that you're going to be accountable to Him someday. And now you become accountable for your behavior. Uh-oh, I can't just do whatever I want and get away with it. No, you're a sinner. And actually, if you don't prepare to meet up with God, you'll go to hell and be judged for your sin for eternity. And that's all pretty bad news until we get to the good news. And that is, He loved you so much that He was willing to become a man and come to earth, live a perfect life, and die as your substitute. That's amazing. But then He rose again to say, I've conquered death, and offers us eternal life. And if we will acknowledge those things are true and repent and ask Him to be our Savior, He promised that He would. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't it a blessing to be a Christian? God wants you to take that blessing and tell others. Amen? Ye are my witnesses, He says. Jesus, the last thing He said before He ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1. He could have said many things. And the disciples tried to distract Him. Lord, are you going to set your kingdom up right now? He said, guys, we're not going to talk about that. I'm going to give you power. And you're going to be my witnesses. And I want you to go into all the world and tell everybody about me. And then He went to heaven. The last thing He told them was to go and be His witnesses. And He said, I have all power. I'll never leave you. In other words, you don't need to be afraid. And you can go in confidence knowing that you're witnessing for the God of the Bible. And that should give us that confidence, knowing that the God that we serve is the God of the universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign God is the one that we are serving. What is there to be afraid of? The Lord is on my side, David said. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? If God is sovereign, then He's in control. Amen? And He will protect us if we need protected. If it's time for us to go home, He'll take us home. But He's sovereign. He's in control. So If we can take anything away from this beautiful passage, just that one phrase, ye are my witnesses. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this reminder this morning of this great calling that you've given to each of your children, that we would tell the world that their Creator loves them so much that our very Creator was willing to become a man himself and die in our place. Lord, may we tell them this great news. And while we go, may we go in confidence, knowing the God that we serve is the God of the universe that's eternal, and that saves, that is all powerful and sovereign over his creation. And may that give us that confidence and encouragement to just keep witnessing. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord. May we take this on board and be serious about it in our Christian walk. Lord, maybe there's someone in our service, they haven't come to that point of acknowledging you as their Savior yet. And I pray they would. I pray they'd realize that the God of the Bible loves them and wants them saved. You say in your own word, Lord, that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray they would realize that they could be saved today and that they would be saved today. Have your will and way in our hearts during this invitation time. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.